Then in the 18th verse of Ephesians 5, continuing, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And I want you to know, when a new drinker, when a young man, a young woman, a mother, a father begins to drink for the first time one beer, one cocktail, one little drink to that new indulger constitutes drunkenness with the Lord. And you'd never be a drunk if you never took the first drink, because when you take the first drink, you're drunk and you do foolish things and you say foolish things and you bring about sin in your life that God rejects, and it'll lead you into the pit of hell. And God says, turn away, for wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I pray that you'll be wise and listen to the word of God. Proverbs 20 and verse 1. God says, wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Well, that ought to tell us a pretty good story that we're living, give us an indication here that we're living among a generation of foolish people, because most people in this nation drink beer and wine and strong drink. We're swiftly becoming a nation of alcoholics and drunks. And friends, even our politicians, mostly all, are drunks or heavy drinkers, and they're leading us down the road to Armageddon with an alarming velocity that is breathtaking. And I'll tell you, God's people need to wise up to what's happening. Now, tomorrow I'll be giving you some vital statistics from the United States government agency concerning alcoholism and its contribution to delinquency, the loss of life, disease, the loss of man hours in production, and so forth. What's happening in our schools today in rebellion, and the percentage of our young people who has turned to alcohol because they say they won't get put in jail for using alcohol, where if they'd use drugs, if they'd be caught with drugs in their possession, then they'd had to go to jail. Well, friends, we're beginning to realize that alcohol is America's number one problem here. As this report came out in September of 1976, entitled America's Number One Drug Problem, and then continuing, alcohol is America's number one or number three health problem and her number one drug problem. There are 18 million alcoholics and problem drinkers in our country today. Each year, problem drinkers are involved in 1 million traffic collisions, which cause more than 28,000 deaths annually and 500,000 injuries annually. And many more statistics that we'll wait until tomorrow's broadcast to give you, because we have some other things here for today. Well, here's the question. Does the Bible teach moderation in drinking, or does it condemn drinking strong drink and wine in any moderate form, or especially being a drunk? Of course, God does condemn that, and everybody sort of agrees with that. Well, does the Holy Scriptures condemn even moderation, or does the Bible command abstinence for a man or woman of God, a saint of God? Well, I'll tell you what it teaches. It teaches abstinence. And all this old moderation is a doctrine that these panty-waist and foolish, and some of them are absolutely unsaved preachers, are, you know, teaching among God's people today to lead them astray into the lust of the flesh and the perverted appetites that destroy men and women in perdition. Well, in the Bible tells us plainly that wine is a mocker. Now, the Bible speaks very vividly about when we are not to touch wine or strong drink. In Proverbs 23, beginning in verse 29, who hath woe? God asked the question. Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Then he answers, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Then God, he gives us this direction here. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red. Now, this is not just advice, it's a commandment from the Lord. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Don't look at wine whenever it reaches this intoxicating condition. Because, he continues, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. And you'll go on, he says, you'll be as he that lieth in the midst of the sea, or he that lieth upon the top of a mast. You'll be a fool. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. And here is the commandment of the Lord here, warning about the woe, the sorrow, the contentions, the babbling, the wounds without cause, the redness of eyes, to those that seek mixed wine and look upon wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup. That's when it sparkles and when it moveth itself aright. And then the Lord warns, it'll bite you like a serpent at the end. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and it stingeth like an adder. In other words, it's deadly. And the Lord gives us plenty of warning in the Word of God of abstinence as God's directive to the saint of God or to any wise man. I'll tell you, a person's foolish to let a preacher or any counselor direct them into getting on wine. That's what the Lord meant about the Holy Ghost in Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And I want you to know God teaches in the Bible that any drink is excessive. It's not excessive just to get drunk. It's excessive just to take a drink. And the Lord has given us the Holy Ghost to be our stimulator, to be our comforter, and we don't have to turn to the bottle to drown our troubles. The Holy Ghost is our comforter, and the Bible tells us plainly not to be drunk with wine in excess, which is excess. It is excess, in other words, God says, to be drunk or to drink any intoxicating drink, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, you hear a lot of people quote 1 Timothy 5:23, use a little wine. Well, the Bible, the whole scripture says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. And again, they say Jesus turned the water to wine. He didn't turn it to intoxicating wine, for in the Bible, the King James Version of the Bible was translated in the early 1600s. And in the 1600s, there was no word, the early 1600s, for grape juice. And all through the Bible uses the word wine and grape juice interchangeably, and the word wine is used from the wine press right on until it was intoxicating and red and moved itself in a cup, and it would bite you like an adder. There was no word for grape juice. That word did not come into use until 75 years after the King James Bible was translated into English out of the original tongues. And I'll tell you, friends, this Bible does not teach men and women to drink. It teaches abstinence from anything that's intoxicating, and it only gives God's people the pure blood of the grape or grape juice to drink. Now, we find here in the church in the wilderness, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 29 of Israel, in verse 5, or beginning in verses 5 and 6 for brevity, God says here through Moses, I've led you 40 years in the wilderness, your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God. Now, those people drank grape juice, but they did not drink wine nor strong drink. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, where Moses is telling them what God gave them to eat in the wilderness. Here it is in verses 13 through 15. He said that God gave you honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, milk of sheep with fats of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats, with a fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. In other words, the pure blood of the grape is grape juice. And all occasionally through the Bible, God makes that differentiation that any honest-hearted person, I said any honest-hearted person or preacher, can discern this. But there's a lot of dishonest people that want to bring God's people into bondage because they themselves are not delivered from the lust of the flesh, and they themselves are not really transformed, and they're dishonest. All right, Jesus himself. Now, Jesus wouldn't turn water into wine and make it bite you like a serpent and sting you like an adder. Anybody that's got one eye and half sense knows that. In Luke, the 22nd chapter, beginning in verse 16, verses 17 and 18. And he took the cup. This is the night of his betrayal and the subsequent crucifixion. And he gave thanks. This is in the Lord's Supper, as Jesus gave it to his apostles. And he said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. He was not giving his disciples old intoxicated wine, Sweet Lucy, or some kind of mess that would make them have woe and sorrow and redness of eyes and make them get out and say foolish things in their eyes that behold strange women. That's foolish. And I'll tell you, any preacher that recommends that is foolish, and he's on the border of being a fool. And any Christian that recommends you to be moderate in drinking, he's leading you into bondage. And God's word does not teach that. The Bible said, be wise, and don't look at that wine when it's red, because the Bible uses the word even wine press for grape juice. You know you don't get wine out of a wine press when you squeeze grapes. They call it, back in Bible days, a wine press, because they had no word for grape juice until almost the 1700s.